The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. And he told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were all choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at table. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. And he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back, and then you have had your repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is good news from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we cannot see God. And I don't mean that God's invisible, that's not the point. But God can't be seen as an object, the way maybe you're looking at me now, or at this table, or that cross behind me. Those are all objects that allow you to see them. That's what atheists don't understand. They want God to be another object that they can identify and prove. You can't see God. Now listen closely. You can only see out from God. Spiritual seeing is always a participation in the eyes of God. Only God can see God. We don't know where to look or what to look for. And unless you let go of your own arrogant, egocentric, "I'm seeing," and soften the edges around your eyes and surrender to a larger presence that we call God, then you see truthfully, broadly, deeply. And that's when you can make sense out of gospels like this. Because, be honest, this gospel doesn't make a bit of sense to your ordinary mind. You all know when you have a party, you invite your friends and your relatives. You know you do. I do too. What else would you do? And here's this Jesus saying, no, don't do that. Because they might repay you. So he's moving you to a completely different world from the world we ordinarily live in. The world we ordinarily live in, I call meritocracy. It's all based on merit. You deserve, you have earned, you have a right to. And people who give us, we give back to them. That makes sense to the normal mind. People are nice to you, you're nice to them. Most people never leave that world to the world of grace. The world of grace has nothing to do with earning, being worthy, meriting, achieving, or being your relatives who will repay you. He says, go to a different space where they can't repay you. Where you have to let go of all of this need For I did this for her, now is she going to do it for me? Now be honest, that's where you live. And that's where I live, I'm ashamed to say. But that isn't where God lives. And unless you can share in those eyes of God, you can't see things in a different way. So the real punchline is when you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your brothers or sisters in case they might invite you back. No, invite those who are unable to pay you back. So you have to move out of this world of quid pro quo, tit for tat, I gave, I deserve. That's where almost all hurt feelings come from. We call it entitlement in America. America lives entirely, and I mean entirely, inside of a system of entitlement. And that's why we have so many angry people, because they never get what they think they deserve. They think they have a right to, and they think they've earned. In the economy of grace, nothing is deserved, nothing is earned. You have a right to nothing. It's all 100% a gift. And all you can do is thank somebody. All you can do is praise God. All you can do is kneel down and kiss the ground. You didn't deserve to wake up today. You don't deserve your health. You don't deserve those clothes on your back. You say, oh yes, I did. I worked. Yeah. Well, who gave you your health so you could work? Who gave you your life to begin with that you're even here at all? You should thank God that you can work. Not thinking, I deserve something because I worked. That's the American way. That's looking out with the ordinary eyes, but not this different kind of knowing. And I often wonder how many Christians really look out at reality with the eyes of God. When you do, you see things very differently. And you don't look around for what you deserve, what you're entitled to, and how you can get repaid. I sent her a birthday card, she better send me one. I gave her a Christmas gift, I hope her gift equals mine. That means you're still in the old game. You have not moved to the realm of grace, where you give a gift and you cut the strings. Either you give it freely or don't give it, or it's not a gift. And where did we learn that kind of giving? From God Himself, who loves, and it seems is so humble Himself that He expects very little back. Oh, He's grateful, it seems, whom we love God back, but most of His creatures don't. And yet God keeps giving and keeps allowing and keeps handing over beauty and truth and goodness. And you are those who hopefully can appreciate it, can know that it's all a gift, and can find ever new ways to say thank you.